Big day at Huntington Bank Field yesterday. Emotional day at the stadium. Emotional Saturday, emotional weekend. And it was capped off with a tremendous win by this football team yesterday. Got them to 2-6. I know the record and you know the odds were against them, but it just felt like a therapeutic Sunday afternoon for everybody. And I mean everybody, because there's Browns fans all over the world, and everybody had heavy hearts going into yesterday's game because of the loss of the legendary Jim Donovan, where he was the best friend that Browns fans could ever have. Told the truth only the way he could see it, which always had a little bit of sarcasm, a lot of humor, a lot of good information, very smart all the time, and that's what made him the best team play-by-play man there was. And he is somebody that people are going to miss, not just as the voice of the Browns, but also a close friend and somebody that fans knew through the winning and the losing cared about this team as much as they did. And a couple of guys who knew him very well, Nathan Zagura coming up at 9:20, and one man who certainly needs no introduction, but I have to introduce him because he appears on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. A friend of ours and a friend of Browns fans all over, Joe Thomas, Hall of Famer, four-year Cleveland Browns, joins us right now. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on this morning.
First, you know, it was a punch in the stomach on Saturday with the loss of Jim. Joe, give us your best memories of the great one, Jim Donovan.
I just remember him being in the locker room a lot of times, hanging out with Doug Deacon. And, you know, occasionally in the locker room, there's a little bit of a divide between the media and the players. And players are, you know, a little nervous being around the media members because they don't know who they feel like they can trust, who they can talk openly to, and who they need to be more guarded with. And I think the cool thing about Jim was it didn't really matter how long you're with the Browns. It didn't take too many times seeing him in the locker room, having an opportunity to see him going around and listening to the interviews that the players are giving and maybe coming up and just starting to shoot the breeze with some of the players to realize, like, he's one of us. Like, he is on our side. Yeah, he's going to be honest in his calls. He's going to tell the truth in his version of what he's seeing right there up in that booth. But he lives and dies with this team. And I think that really helped open up the relationships that he had with a lot of the players and help give him the insight that he needed to be able to be up in that booth, constantly educating and informing Browns fans, no matter what the record was in the season, no matter how the season was going for that team. He was always a good listen because he could share those in-depth stories that only somebody that has really close relationships with the players can.
Well, Joe, that is great perspective. And you were there yesterday, kind of take us through what it was like being in that stadium. I've heard people say, and I know we get a little crazy in times like this, but it just kind of felt like there was going to be something up above that wasn't going to let the Browns lose that game.
There was definitely a feeling and an energy going into that stadium that was probably a lot different than what the rest of the season has felt like. This was my first home game that I've gone to, so I haven't been here for the other ones, but I think a lot of that energy and that feel, it comes through your TV when you're watching the games. And I think with Deshaun playing at quarterback most of the season, there was like an anxiety with the fan base, right? Because obviously we'd invested so much in this guy and there was so much pressure for him to be the savior that when the switch was made because of injury and now you got Jameis coming in, it was almost a relief. It was like an excited relief, I feel like, from the fans. As they were walking into that stadium, in that stadium, there was an energy, there was a buzz, that the pressure was sort of gone. And you knew that with Jameis at quarterback, it was going to be exciting no matter what. There was going to be potentially a lot of points scored when he had the ball in his hand, some for us, some for the other team. But it was going to be a fun game. It was going to be a team worth watching. And then obviously the added emotion of losing Jim just the day before, and all the memories that certainly Browns fans had coming into that stadium, reliving moments in the last 25 years of Browns history. And he was always the guy that's narrating those moments in your mind. And I think the kind of the confluence of those two things, just it led to be a very upbeat feeling going into that stadium. And that's not the sense that I got from a lot of the other games, certainly the last couple home games that we've had. Here in Cleveland, it didn't seem like there was that upbeat optimism. It was almost like a surliness, I'm assuming, because that's how I felt just watching it on TV, but it was totally opposite in that game yesterday, and it was really special being there, being part of it, because even when we would go down, and maybe it was just me, but it didn't seem like it. It seemed like everyone just felt like they knew we were going to be able to come back and we were going to win this game. They didn't know how, but they just believed that this team was going to win that game.
Joe Thomas joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I know you haven't been broadcasting for very long, but I think you have a way of being able to kind of reach through and talk to people as people, as a color commentator on TV, which is hard to do, Joe. I mean, you're doing national games and things like that, and it's hard to get that relationship with people so soon. I think you've done a good job of that. Was there anything that Jim ever gave you as far as advice or anything like that when you started out broadcasting?
You know, he was great because as I would just hang around the Browns, when I started my media career, you get a chance to stand on the sideline with the different media members and just kind of get their perspective on, you know, what are you watching at practice? What are you thinking about? What are the stories you're working on for the day? And just try to kind of see from their perspective how they come up with stuff, right? Because you guys know, if you're a beat writer or if you're one of the local Browns media, you got to come up with an interesting angle every single day. And it was great hearing Jim talk about, like, what was important when you're calling a game. And, you know, he would always say that the fans at home want to feel like they're sitting at a bar stool and you and your partner are their buddies and you guys are just talking about the game. Yeah, you're educating them. Obviously, you have a lot different inside information than they do, but you're really able to just make them feel at ease. You're educating them without them feeling like this is a science or math class. And I think they did such a great job of that. And, you know, that's what I've tried to emulate when I go and do games. You just want to make people feel like they're sitting there enjoying the game with their buddies. They're educated a little bit, but they don't feel like it's getting forced down their throat. But more than anything, they're entertained with what they're seeing, and they're hearing a reflection of the feelings and emotions that they're having when their team's out there and playing a game.
Joe Thomas with us right now on the hotline. So you were there yesterday, and certainly you were made aware, no matter where you were living in the world, that the Browns offense was one of the worst offenses in modern history. And it got so bad that Kevin Stefanski gave up the play calling, and then yesterday happened. How do you explain it?
Well, I got to side with the dangerous one a little bit here. I mean, quarterback play was much better. And I think when you look at what a quarterback does, not only just throwing the ball on time, but threatening defense down the field, making them defend every blade of grass. Like, as soon as you start throwing the ball to the sideline down the field or in the middle down the field, like, those safeties have to respect that. And now they're backing up a little bit, which takes them a little bit more time for them to get into their run fits. Then it gives you a realistic chance to put the defense in conflict. They don't know if it's going to be a short pass. They don't know if it's going to be a run. They don't know if it's going to be a throw down the field. They don't know if it's going to be play action. That's the benefit of being under center. It just gives you more opportunities to do different things before the ball is snapped, right? Because as soon as you get in shotgun, the defense looks at, like, their checklist in their brain, and they can cut out about a third of the stuff that they know that you can't do. So now they're going to react quicker to the stuff that you can do. But being under center, having an opportunity to run a little bit more of those play action shots, like, their process is slower after the ball gets snapped because they have more things that they have to go run through their checklist to be able to check off before they're able to identify what you are doing and then go try to attack it. So I think it's all those things. Obviously helped a little bit by Jim Donovan there with some of those pass breakups, interception potential when Jameis was throwing the ball to the other team, which was pretty amazing how many interceptions got dropped. But, I mean, I think that was just the way it was supposed to be yesterday.
You said the quiet part out loud because there are a lot of people who are like, man, Kyle Hamilton doesn't drop those. And Rashad Bateman, the sun gets in his eyes. He doesn't drop those. And so a lot of people are wondering the same thing you were there, Joe. Throughout the last couple of weeks, what have you thought of Nick Chubb? How's he looked?
I think he's looked good. I mean, you can tell that he's still working his way back. He doesn't have that incredible explosiveness that he's had in the past, which is completely understandable with where he is. I mean, I was pretty shocked after watching the injury from last year to see that he's back there, you know, roughly a year later after having a couple surgeries on his knee, second time or more that they've reconstructed that knee. I mean, it takes a long time to get some of those fast twitch explosive muscles back. You can get all your strength back without having that explosion, which I think is something that just takes time, and it takes getting out there and playing NFL games. But I think he showed really, really good patience. And you can see when he runs the ball, like, it's a little bit different than some of our other running backs, because he can really read where the holes and the cracks are going to be, especially in the zone scheme. And he knows when to be patient and just kind of follow those big boys up front, and then when he needs to accelerate. And I think defenses are respecting him, and I think that's helping us open up the rest of the field. Even though he hasn't hit any of those big, long signature runs like he used to in years past, I think they're coming, and it's just a matter of time. But you can still see the effect he's having already on the defense, because they have to respect him for who he is.
All right, Joe, yesterday was the best by far performance from the offensive line. Wyatt Teller was back and healthy. DeJuan Jones all of a sudden out, left tackle for the first time in his career. And I guess Jameis statistically had the most time to throw through the entire football game than any quarterback in the NFL, according to Next Gen Stats. Could you get a little nitty-gritty with us on how they pulled it off?
Nitty-gritty football.
It's time.
There we go.
Nitty-gritty football.
Jamison Crowder wheel route down the right sideline. Jordan Reed touchdown and a 4x1 individual ISO slant.
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
There you go, Joe. Go ahead.
Man, whoever that voice actor is, you guys should pay him more.
AI, man, it's great. I hope you got some money for that.
So,
well, it was huge having Wyatt back, right? He's such a good player. He's so firm in protection. And I think one of the things that the offensive line has struggled with is stunts in games and blitzes, obviously. But when you get a guy who's had the experience that Wyatt has had, he's going to be much better fitting and understanding how he has to relate with his body to the guys that are next to him to be able to pick up those line stunts in those games when those guys try to twist. So that was much better. Obviously, he's a lot firmer in protection. His running blocking is really good. The holding on him in the first part of the game was total BS. He just pancaked the guy. I was sitting next to Phil Taylor in the first quarter, actually, when they called that penalty on Wyatt. He looked at me and goes, even a defensive guy like me admits that was just a pancake block.
But Give me more grit.
Yeah, more grit. Let's go. I thought DeJuan played really, really well. And the reason that they had more time to throw was they were doing a lot more of those under center play action where it looks like run. So all of our big offensive linemen get a chance to fire off the ball, grab the defensive lineman, and then as big as we are, once they've grabbed that guy, now they just got to hold on for 2 or 3 seconds, and Jameis had plenty of time. And so I think it was really just adding that under center play action, allowing our offensive line to go get on those guys before they realize it's a pass. And then Jameis just being comfortable and calm in the pocket, like stand where he's supposed to be and don't leave that spot unless there's pressure, right? Don't try to bail out of the pocket before the pocket starts collapsing on you. Props to DeJuan Jones for playing great. I mean, I just think overall everything fit much better for the personnel that we have this week than in years past.
What a breakdown.
That was awesome.
From Joe Thomas, the Hall of Famer.
Does a quarterback like Jameis make the offensive line's job easier?
Well, compared to Tom Brady, probably not. But, like, compared to other quarterbacks, of course, because he's a guy that is in the pocket and he's throwing the ball on time. And we don't have eyes in the back of our head, so we can't tell where that dude's supposed to be or where that guy is going to be compared to where he's supposed to be. So you got to trust him, and then you also got to trust that the ball is going to come out on time. But I think his threat of throwing the ball down the field with reckless abandon and with no regard for whether it gets picked or not, like, scares the defense, and they're afraid to blitz. They're afraid to bring people up into the box. They're afraid to send twists and games where they're going to put their defense in one-on-one coverage in the back end because Jameis is going to throw it up. And we still have some pretty good receivers, and I think we had some guys like Elijah Moore and Cedric Tillman play some of their best football in a Browns uniform thus far, and I think they're showing that they can beat man coverage, and I think that'll really play well for us down the stretch, you know, because defenses are going to be afraid of us chucking the ball down the field because we got guys who can win in one-on-one.
Well, Joe, this led to a heated argument last hour between the two of us because the trade deadline is next Tuesday. The Browns are 2-6, and last week it seemed hopeless. But then you saw that from Jameis yesterday. But if you're a GM of the Browns and teams are calling, specifically we were talking about Jameis Winston during the argument as the hypothetical, but Za'Darius Smith, who played fantastic yesterday, if you're the GM of the Browns, what do you do in that situation knowing you got a whole different offense now, but your margin for error is almost non-existent the rest of the year?
Well, I think you listen to any and all trade requests because you never know if somebody's going to get goofy and give you something crazy. But I from Jameis's perspective, I don't know anybody's going to trade for him. He has no contract next year. So, yeah, you could talk about compensatory draft picks if you lose him. But it's not like you're able to lock up somebody for the long term. Even though I think he did a great job for us, I'm not willing to think like that there's this huge market for him where people are going to give up, you know, high draft picks for a guy that they're only going to get for half the season to try to save their season. I think you saw it with Miami. A lot of teams already have a backup in place that if their guy gets hurt and he's going to be out for a few weeks, like they're happy to just try to replace him with their backup and kind of live a couple weeks until their starter can get back. And I think they realize that, hey, if we have a roster that can win a Super Bowl, I don't think anybody's looking right now going, hey, if, you know, our guy got hurt, Jameis will still be the guy that can lead us to the Super Bowl. I don't think he's played well enough to say that yet, and I think that would be the only quality of talent at quarterback that would necessitate a team or make a team willing to trade for Jameis and give up a high draft choice.
Joe, we thank you so much for the time. You're wonderful as always. You take care, and we'll talk to you again soon, bud.
All right, my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Joe Thomas, Browns Hall of Famer on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.